the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21. This is Matthew's account of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on the first day of the week, exactly 1 week before his resurrection. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed him. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him that had followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." And then the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. On that day, the Lord their God will save them as the flock of his people. Like the jewels of a crown, they will shine on his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great his beauty." The word of the Lord. This is the only time in the life and ministry of Jesus that we know of where Jesus sort of sets up a demonstration. Almost all the other signs that Jesus did were things that occurred in the circumstance and in the moment. The turning of the water into wine, the feeding of the 5,000, the walking on the water, the calming of the winds. All of these things occurred in the flow of natural events. But this particular event, Jesus staged it. Jesus staged it. He set it up. He sent his disciples ahead. He told them what to do. He gave them instructions, and he created an event. He created it a moment, and we call it the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And the reason that Jesus did this is it wanted to demonstrate with no mistake, no misgiving. He wanted to demonstrate who he was and what he was doing. He is the King of Israel, the King of the Jews, and the King of all the kings. And he had been preaching for over 3 years, the kingdom of God is at hand. He had been talking about the kingdom. He had been explaining to his disciples the nature of the kingdom and what it takes to enter the kingdom and all about the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. And now he was going to give them a demonstration, a visual image of his royal authority and his kingdom. And so he set up this event. Now the circumstances are like this. Jesus has been ministering all through the land. He's worked his way slowly to Jerusalem. And he's been hanging around the suburbs of Jerusalem for a while, doing significant things. And a massive crowd has begun to gather. If he had crowds in Galilee, he had throngs and throngs when he got to Judea and around Jerusalem. And these crowds had gathered, and they had just witnessed the most profound miracle that they had ever seen performed by any human being. Just a few days earlier, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. The crowning miracle of all of his signs, the resurrection, the bringing from the tomb his friend Lazarus. Now, these crowds had gathered and become stronger, and now Jesus was going to use the occasion on the first day of the week, when the Sabbath was over, He was going to come into the city and demonstrate his royalty. And so that all the people would begin to see and understand what he was all about. The throng was there, the crowd was there, the opportunity was there. This was the highest moment of popularity and notoriety in the life and ministry of Jesus. It had worked its way to this. And so now he's going to set forth this demonstration. And this demonstration is resplendent with imagery that they would know. For you see, they knew and understood in that ancient day, and especially in Jerusalem, what it meant for a king to be riding on a mule. All the kings of Israel, going back to Saul, had ridden on a mule. In fact, if you read the story carefully of Saul, Saul's father, Kish, was a breeder of mules. And he was on his way to find the mules that were lost when he was anointed by the prophet Samuel. We come down next to the King David. King David's sons all rode upon mules. And the most significant thing in the life of the succession of the dynasty was when David, in his feeble, elderly, dying days, placed Solomon upon his mule so that Solomon would be recognized by the people as the rightful heir and the king of Israel. So these people knew their history, and they knew that riding on a mule demonstrated royalty in Israel. Now, I don't know how many farm boys and girls we have in the audience this morning, but you know something about a mule. And you study the language of Scripture here. It talks about a donkey and the beast of burden. It talks about the foal, the colt. Well, the mule is an offspring of a horse and a donkey. A unique animal, really, in a lot of ways, because they receive many of the attributes of both the horse and that of the lowly donkey. These animals, each of these animals, had great significance in the ancient world. The conquering kings, the victorious imperial power of Caesar was demonstrated by the riding on a great white steed, a horse. On the other hand, you had the beast of burden, the lowly donkey, the mule, the lowly donkey that would always have the place of humility and all the attributes of that particular animal. But put them together, breed them, have an offspring, the foal of a donkey, the colt. You have a unique animal. So Jesus sent the disciples to find a mother donkey who had a little foal who was a mule, and bring that animal to him. Now, the account, all four of the Gospels give an extremely detailed account of this particular event in the life of Christ. This particular account talks about the donkey coming along, mom coming along with the little animal. But the animal had tremendous significance. And when Jesus mounted the little mule and rode through the gates of Jerusalem, down the avenue with the throngs on either side, there was no question of what he was saying, what he was demonstrating. He was saying, "I am the King of Israel." Caesar might ride on the great white steed. The rabbis, by the way, would generally, the noted rabbis, would ride on a donkey. Jesus was riding on the one animal that bore all of the significance. He was riding like King David, like King Solomon, the two great kings of Israel. He was riding on a mule. Now, The other three Gospels give us a little better picture of what the people said when they saw this. Mark. They spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that were cut from the fields. And those that went before and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Matthew tells us that much, but listen to what Luke adds. "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." There it was. Jesus had unmistakably pageanted, demonstrated the royal throne of David. Listen to what Luke says in his account of the triumphal entry. "And they were saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" The same thing the angels sang at the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And then the fourth gospel, John, gives us this particular: "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." There was no doubt that Jesus was making sure that he made a public statement of his royalty. But also in doing so, he had fulfilled a prophecy. We read it a moment ago out of the 9th chapter of Zechariah. And the prophecy was concerning the nature of his rule and his reign. It would not be a reign of terror. It would not be a reign of tyranny. But it would be a reign of salvation, a reign of mercy, a reign of righteousness. And so he said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem." It's interesting that it refers to the shouting and the dancing and the celebratory acts being done by the daughters of Jerusalem. Going all the way back to the days in the wilderness, it was the women that were most demonstrative and exuberant at the working out of the Lord. And so we have this great pageant where the people were demonstrating and enjoying this great celebratory event with Jesus riding in and them shouting. And it was the exuberance of the women. "Behold, your King is coming to you, righteous and having salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey." The significance of Jesus being on the mule was this: that he had the royal, sovereign power of the white steed. But he came in the humility of the lowly donkey. His was a mission of salvation. And those that remembered the Old Testament scriptures were reminded of what had been said way back in the days of the patriarchs. And I close with this. Way back in the days when Jacob had the 12 sons. He blessed the 12 sons. And in the blessing that the patriarch Jacob gave of the 12 sons, we have the whole unfolding of Israel's history, if you read it carefully. Let me read just a little snippet from it. Here is the blessing that Jacob pronounced upon his third son, Judah. "Judah, your brothers shall praise you." By the way, the word Judah means praise in Hebrew. "Your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down before you." His scepter, that's the implement of authority. That's the king's tool, the scepter. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute come to him. And to him shall be the obedience of the peoples." Listen to this language, the next verse. binding his foal to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He has washed his garments in wine and his vesture in the blood of grapes. Did you catch that imagery? Here's the picture of this little mule being tied to a vine, bound to a vine. And the vine is the vine of the crushed grapes. It's the vine of the wrath of God. It's the vine of the grapes of wrath. Because this same crowd that is saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord," on this beautiful Sunday morning, is the same crowd that will be crying, "Crucify him, crucify him," by Friday morning. And he will be bound to the vine, to the grapes of the wrath of God, and his garments will be washed in wine, shedding of his blood for the salvation and the sins of his people. This king comes to save us. He comes to cleanse us with his blood, to atone for us, to redeem us, to rescue us. This king comes not just to rule over us, which he certainly does, but he comes to wash us in his precious atoning blood.